Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. This is a 9mm carbine. It's new, and they may be like, don't be like, oh, I already have it. I have one too. I got the Gen 2. I want the Gen 3 because there's some different stuff, which I'm getting ready to tell you about. So this is innovation, Kel-Tec's innovation at its best. So previously with your Sub 2K, you had to take your optics off to fold it in half. Yes, it's a carbine that folds right in half. It's, you know, it's like a gun origami. And it now you don't. You can keep your optics on it. And it's just a very simple twist and fold motion. It's a patent-pending rotating fore-end in either direction. It folds it right in half and quickly and easily deploys it just as much. And that's cool. But they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. You got a lightened 5-pound pull. You also have upgraded action, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. You have to check it out. And you can find out more about the Sub 2K. It reads Sub 2000. Sub 2K Gen 3. At KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
You know, this guy is one of my favorite Florida men ever. So he brought deer into his house. So he's facing charges now. He brought endangered deer into his home in the Florida Keys. But he was watching Fox News with them, which I admire, because at least he didn't subject the endangered deer to The View. I mean, that would have been animal cruelty, and I think that that would have been ultimately the charge. He was feeding the deer. He had him come inside and hang out with him, and he turned on Fox News and let him watch. But for that, he's facing charges. Like I said, had it been The View, it would have been animal cruelty. A Florida man was arrested for throwing Chick-fil-A at a woman during a road rage incident. He threw a drink at her. I think it was one of those delicious milkshakes. I love the milkshakes at Chick-fil-A. Anyway, Anthony Joseph Pellegrino of Clearwater, I'll be down there soon, hopefully for spring training, was involved in a road rage incident, and he threw a partially full Chick-fil-A drink at a woman covering her and her vehicle. You know, road rage is not a fun thing, and this is why I advise people all the time. Even if somebody cuts you off or something, just don't flip them the bird. Just let it go. There are a lot of crazy people out there, and the guy ruined a perfectly good Chick-fil-A drink. And finally, a Florida man was sentenced to 4 years in federal prison after shooting down a drone. That's right, on his own property. And he was arrested for this, and I think this is an outrage because, I mean, the guy shot it down on his own property. But apparently he had a gun, and he was ineligible to own a firearm under federal law, and that's what's going to lead him to possibly spending 4 years in prison.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
There was a memorandum that was put out on February 29th, 2024 from the Department of Veterans Affairs. You know that iconic World War II kiss? It was after VJ Day, Victory Japan Day, in Times Square, New York. And it's an iconic Life magazine photo that was captured by a photographer named Alfred Eisenstadt. It was August 14th, 1945. And it truly is one of the most iconic images in America. It's a U.S. Navy sailor kissing a woman dressed in white. You know the picture. You've seen it a million times. It's been memorialized in statues, and it's been memorialized in stamps and pictures all around the country and everything else. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Iconic shot. Well, right now there's confusion on social media about whether or not there really was an effort to ban the VJ Day kiss from all department facilities. So let me clarify this for you. It was 100% real, a real attempt to ban it. Now, you have people on social media who are claiming that this is fake news. It's not fake news. The Secretary of Veterans Affairs came out and and essentially said today, let me be clear, this photo is going to survive. But he only did so because the actual memorandum was exposed, and it's very real, and it was a real memo written by a woman named Rima Ann O. Nelson, the Assistant Undersecretary for Health Operations at the VA. And this is what she wrote in this memorandum, which was titled Removal and Replacement of VJ Day in Times Square Photographs. Purpose. This memorandum requests the removal of the VJ Day in Times Square photograph from all Veterans Health Administration facilities in alignment with the Department of Veterans Affairs' commitment to maintaining a safe, respectful, and trauma-informed environment. This action is prompted by the recognition that the photograph, which depicts a non-consensual act, is inconsistent with the VA's no-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault. And it quotes the VA handbook section and relevant directive. Background. On VJ Day in Times Square, captured by Alfred Eisenstadt on August 14, 1945, is an iconic image from the 20th century. It depicts a U.S. Navy sailor kissing a woman dressed in white, a dental assistant, in Times Square, New York City, on the day of Japan's surrender in World War II, marking the war's end. This spontaneous moment was celebrated across the United States, and the photograph quickly became a symbol of victory and the joyous end to the long and devastating conflict. The placement of this photograph in Veterans Affairs facilities was initially intended to celebrate and commemorate the end of World War II and the triumphant return of American soldiers. However, perspectives on historical events and their representations evolved. Recent discussions have highlighted concerns about the non-consensual nature of the kiss, prompting debates on content and the appropriateness of celebrating such images in today's environment, especially within institutions such as Veterans Health Administration facilities, which are committed to upholding standards of creating a safe and respectful environment. Decision. The Department of Justice's current definition of sexual assault includes any non-consensual sexual act or any act where the victim cannot consent. This definition is adhered to by the department when applying our policies and guidance. By the VA's no-tolerance policy towards domestic violence, sexual harassment, and assault, as outlined in VA handbook and VA directive, blah, 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 the VA is committed to eliminating these behaviors in our community. Employees have expressed discomfort with the display of this photograph, suggesting that its presence could be construed as a tacit endorsement of the inappropriate behavior it depicts. To foster a more trauma-informed environment that promotes the psychological safety of our employees and the veterans we serve, photographs depicting the VJ Day in Times Square should be removed from all Veterans Health Administration facilities. This action reflects our dedication to creating a respectful and safe workplace and in keeping with our broader efforts to promote a culture of inclusivity and awareness. In celebrating the end of World War II and the valiant service of our veterans, facilities should seek alternative photographs that capture the spirit of victory and peace without compromising the VA's commitment to a safe and respectful environment. Your cooperation in this matter is vital. Please ensure that these photographs are promptly removed and facilities explore suitable replacements that honor our history and veterans in a manner consistent with our values. Should you have any questions concerning the memorandum, please contact Leela Jackson, Director of the Assault and Harassment Prevention Office. Signed, Rima Ann O. Nelson, Assistant Undersecretary of Health Operations. So, as you can imagine, this is insane. And it caused a lot of outrage on social media. Well, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs tweeted something out 4 years ago, four hours ago. Secretary Dennis McDonough, the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, tweeted out the following, quote, "Let me be clear, this image is not banned from VA facilities and we will keep it in VA facilities." That was tweeted out this morning at 10:03 a.m. on March 5th. The memorandum was written on February 29th. And just so you understand, the memorandum was real. It's not fake news. They really tried to do this. They tried to do the same thing with the banning of William Penn. William Penn, of course, who was the guy who founded Pennsylvania, was a Quaker, was a big anti-slavery guy. They wanted to ban William Penn, to eradicate him, because in some way, shape, or form, it was offensive, apparently, to those who were sensitive to the Native American heritage and culture and blah, blah, blah. It was fake outrage. Nobody really was offended by William Penn's house in Philadelphia. Nobody was offended by the William Penn statue. But they were going to do it until the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, called the Department of the Parks, the National Interior, and said, cut it out. And they dropped the plans to do it. But just like with that, this was real. They wanted to cancel that famous photograph. It's not fake news. But you see, we live in an age now where information comes at you so fast that a lot of people are now assuming that since the Secretary of Veterans Affairs tweeted that out, that the story was fake news, that they were never going to try to ban the picture. No. It was 100% real. The only reason why they stopped it, and the only reason why the memo was February 29th, today's March 5th, so days later, the secretary comes out and says it's going to stay, is because people spoke up and said, what? What are you doing? What are you banning now? So it was the Veterans Affairs secretary who overruled the plans. But it was 100% real, not fake news. I have to clarify that because living in the age that we live in right now, it's hard to know what's real and what's not. And the Secretary of Veterans Affairs doesn't want anyone to know that they really were going to do this. The woman who wrote that memo should be fired. The woman who wrote that memo should be fired and should not have a job because she wanted to ban that photo. She's a typical your DEI hire who was absolutely somebody who wanted to go out there and destroy this and get rid of an iconic American moment because it violates woke sensibilities today because the kiss was non-consensual. And she would have got away with it had there not been the outrage that ensued on social media, which led somebody to calling Washington and the VA secretary coming around and saying, okay, we'll keep it. We'll keep it going. But you see, the coward who is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, he's not acknowledging the reality of this. He's not acknowledging that it's true. He's just pretending like, no, we're keeping it. Because they don't want to acknowledge that that's what they were trying to get away with. And they almost did. Had it not been for people like you and me and others who spoke out and said, this is insane. Why would you do this? They almost got away with it. But this is what they do. And this is what they try to do when they try to cancel things. But one of the positive things about social media is that enough people can speak out. Like, I remember when they tried to cancel William Penn. I was actually on my way to do an interview on Fox News that night on Jesse Waters primetime. It was about 7:30 p.m. I got the phone call that the governor had announced that they were not going to move forward with plans to remove William Penn and the William Penn House from the National Park Service in Philadelphia. And so the issue was moot at that point. But that was another win for social media. And actually, to the credit of the Philadelphia Inquirer, they wrote a piece on that, and they said the controversy that ended because of social media outrage. But you have to know what these people in Washington are trying to do all the time, which is to cancel our history and cancel iconic American moments in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Anything that doesn't match their woke standards.
All right, folks, so new sponsors over at Fast Growing Trees, the biggest online nursery in the United States. And they have more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States. Get lemon, avocado, olive, fig trees. You can have all of these at your home on top of the wide variety of house plants that they have available. And Fast Growing Trees makes it really easy to order online. And your plants are shipped directly to your door in just 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they also offer free plant consultation. If you are not like me, I have a green thumb, but if you're not like me, then you can always ask them questions about whatever it is that you need, any trees, any plants. They make it really easy. And so you don't have to like drive around and look at different nurseries. You can take advantage of their consultation and then you can get your stuff in just 1 to 2 days. So right now they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants. And plus, when you use code Dana at checkout, you're going to save an additional 15%. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com and be sure to use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's fastgrowingtrees.com.
All of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So tell them we sent you.
Well, you know, in the world of craziness, RuPaul stands the test of time. RuPaul is sending a rainbow bus to give away books targeted by bans. First of all, there are no books that are banned in this country. But RuPaul, the drag star, is now one of three business partners to give away books in efforts to ensure that the woke curriculum is pushed down the throats of our children. And it's a real damn shame, too, because they won't stop trying to indoctrinate our children. The Rainbow Book Bus will be traveling across the country trying to indoctrinate our children with all this pornography and other things in these books. Outrageous. A heated custody battle over a transgender child in California stokes a viral debate. Conservative social media influencer Chris Elston, who goes by the handle Billboard Chris and travels the country denouncing medical treatment for transgender youth, posted a video. And the fact of the matter is, it shows him interviewing a South Carolina father who claimed that his 5-year-old had been taken away from him by the state because he objected to the child being transgender. More stories like this are happening right now. And the fact that the kid is a child should be enough for the state to say, we're staying out of this, and you parent the child as you see fit. But of course, the state wants to normalize this lunacy and this madness, and that's the problem. The tush push will remain for now in the NFL. The tush push will survive as the NFL doesn't want to ban the play. Despite speculation that the oft-used quarterback sneak variation, popularized by the Eagles, my team, could get banned, NFL executives told the New York Post that the league will take no such action. Don't punish a team that strategically does the tush push well, which is good. Since Jason Kelce retired from the Eagles officially yesterday, we don't need the tush push ending either. The Eagles need all the help we can get. The rise of the do-nothing vacation, it's a thing. More travelers say they want to make relaxation their top priority while on holiday. We don't get to do that, people without kids. I learned a long time ago that when you go on vacation with your children, again, I have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old, you're not actually going on vacation, you're going on trips. Because there's no relaxation whatsoever. You have to entertain them the entire time, unless you put them in those kiddie clubs during the day, but my wife and I aren't fans of that. So there's no really vacations when you have children, you have trips. You might get a vacation night here and there, but you're not getting an actual vacation. So if you have the ability to do a do-nothing vacation, I highly recommend you do so. There's actually a term for that in Italy. You just basically do nothing. You just enjoy and relax and rest yourself and regroup. But again, it only happens before the little ones come around because they change everything. Speaking of changing everything, there's a new game coming out, which I'm very excited about. I liked playing Madden football when I was a kid, and there's going to be an EA Sports College Football 25 video game. They haven't done a college football video game in 10 years. Well, College Football 25 is coming out, but there's already outrage. ESPN reporter Holly Rowe questioned the iconic game by EA Sports and said, "How come there are no women involved? How about including some women?" EA Sports, see, there has to be outrage about everything. I got an answer for you. Women don't play college football? All right. Anyway, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who everybody knows, she's the leader of the squad. That's an extreme group of Democrats in the House. It's the Ilhan Omar. It's Rashida Tlaib. It's that whole group of nutbags. Even she got confronted by anti-Israel supporters wanting her to say genocide. This is how extreme these people are. They even confront the most extreme members of the Democrat Party. So here's a little clip. We'll cue up cut number 7. This is a little clip of her on the streets of New York as they confronted AOC. I don't know where she was going. She maybe was going to teach bartending lessons. No offense to bartenders. I mean, it's a great gig if you can get it. And she was. She was a bartender. I don't knock that. I mean, I think people who work for a living are great. More people should do that. They should work for a living instead of just, you know, going to college and getting a useless degree. Oh, and speaking of working voters, I saw today as I was driving into work in Philadelphia, all these guys working on the side of the road, you know, and they're all pouring cement, and they all have their union stickers on, and they were all wearing Trump either shirts or Trump stickers on their hard hats, or they had Trump flags on their trucks. It's a great reminder of the dichotomy that exists in this country between the union bosses, the leadership, and the union members. Kind of like when that guy who was the head of the United Auto Workers Union admitted he knows that even though he endorsed Biden, that a majority of his members are not going to vote for Biden. Dude, it's an overwhelming majority of your members are not going to vote for Joe Biden. An overwhelming majority. There's a dichotomy between union guys and gals and the union leadership. I see it all the time. I saw it in 2016, being in Philadelphia. You hear from carpenters, you hear from plumbers, electricians. They don't care who their union leadership endorses. They don't care. And many times they do that stuff because of the internal politics when it comes to things like negotiating pensions and contracts and all kinds of other stuff. So the union bosses do that to placate the local Democrats who are the ones who divvy out all those things. The members don't care. Members don't care who the union boss picks for the president. They're voting for the guy who they think is going to be better for their paycheck. And the United Auto Workers boss, he acknowledged as much. He said, I know a vast majority of our members are not going to vote for Biden. They're going to vote with their paycheck. I mean, it doesn't get a better admission than that, am I right? But here's AOC getting confronted by people who are even crazier than she is. Cut number 7.
Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say. Or are you not angry about people confronting you publicly? You can't talk genocide. Over 30,000 people have died. That's it.
Cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just going to pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's f***ed up, man. You're not helping these people,
TV.
And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
You're not helping them. You're not helping them. You know what's funny, though? She's saying, I already acknowledged that it was genocide. I mean, basically, is what she's acknowledging. So you're still placating the extreme lunatics here. Here's Michael Moore, speaking of extreme lunatics. Demanding that Jews focus on fighting white Christians, not Hamas. This is the modern Democrat Party today. This is what you're dealing with. This is why a guy like Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania is coming out and sounding reasonable right now as he stands with Israel. Think about that. John Fetterman, who is the United States Senator for Pennsylvania, who ran as the Bernie Sanders of Pennsylvania, a progressive guy, had a long history of that. He's now getting attacked by people like Will Bunch, who's the resident lefty writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. That's the city newspaper. Bashing Fetterman as having done a 180, embracing things like wanting border security and standing with Israel. The Democrat Party has a problem, and it is an extreme problem. And this is the other issue right now, which is that when James Carville's group looked at polling data, they found that even Democrats acknowledge that the Democrat Party is the party of extremism, not the Republicans. Despite all the claims about MAGA and everything else, despite all those claims, they think it is the Democrat Party that is more extreme. I'll give you another example. Everybody, every single person knows how crazy Keith Olbermann is. And this guy is trying so hard to stay relevant right now. He's trying so hard to stay relevant by tweeting out crazy, crazy stuff. So this is what he just tweeted out a short time ago, and I'll share this with you from his Twitter account. F you, Sonia Sotomayor. F you, Elena Kagan. F you, Ketanji Brown Jackson. Liberal women are effing useless. The Democrat Party has a crazy person problem. Here's Michael Moore, another crazy guy, cut 8.
For the last 2,000 years, most of the persecution has come from white European-centric Christians. That's been your enemy. No Palestinian helped to build Auschwitz. No Palestinian stood on the docks of New York City when boatloads of Jewish refugees trying to escape the Holocaust came here to be protected by this country and were turned away at the docks in New York and sent back to Germany to die. No Palestinian did that. No Palestinian ran the Spanish Inquisition. Your enemy is not the Palestinian people. It is white Christian European people who have been slaughtering Jews for the last 2,000 years.
Okay, there. This is the crazy people problem. Here's Vice President Kamala Harris again. The crazy people problem, addressing the extreme base of the Democrat Party. Why, as you're heading into a general election, why? Cut number nine.
You know, the president and I have been very clear that Israel has a right to defend itself, that we have got to make sure that innocent civilians aren't being killed, and that we've got to get these hostages out. And that is one of the highest priorities right now we have. And I'll tell you, the president has been an extraordinary leader in getting us to this point that we have the six-week deal. And so Hamas needs to do its thing, as I talked about yesterday in Selma. We all want this conflict to end as soon as possible, and how it does matters.
So Hamas has got to do its thing.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.